Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. Today's date is Thursday, April 4th, 2019. You're listening to Abraham Darwin. Justin Waite is away on vacation. And so I had the opportunity to talk to James Campbell, Managing Director of Botswana Diamonds, give us an update on the Thorny River project, as well as James Draper, CEO of Bidstack, as he takes us through the highlights of the final results, as well as the exciting progress Bidstack is making.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast today is James Campbell, CEO of Botswana Diamonds. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much indeed, Abraham, for having me.
For those of us who don't know, could you just quickly give us a rundown of Botswana Diamonds?
Botswana Diamonds is a London AIM and Botswana Stock Exchange listed company focusing on diamond exploration and development projects in Southern Africa, which we believe to be the most prospective area in the world. And the three countries we're focused on are Botswana, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. And the company has a wide portfolio of projects in each of these three companies spanning the resource pipeline.
Great. And one of those projects at the moment is the Thorny River development. You've had some updates with that. Can you take us through what happened?
Absolutely, Abraham. Thorny River project is probably our most advanced project in the region, in that we've already written a competent person's report on it, which we published in January of last year, following a program of drilling, bulk sampling, geophysics, and micro-diamond work. And what we announced today was a conclusion of an intensification drilling program. And this intensification drilling program was to provide the planning parameters for a bulk sampling project, which we will commence as soon as regulatory approvals have been granted.
What's next in terms of the Thorny River and other projects?
Now we've actually completed the 33 holes and 1,282 meters. And if we actually look at what we've actually achieved on the project to date, we've drilled something like just under 3,300 meters and 77 holes. And what this has done, it's outlined five main areas of interest on the farms Friskevacht and Hartebeesfontein, which form part of the Thorny River project. And within those areas of interest, it's prioritized which areas we should start with from a bulk sampling campaign perspective. The purpose of the bulk sampling is twofold. Firstly, to realize revenue, to offset the large amount of cost we've actually put into the project itself. And then secondly, to generate a significant parcel of diamonds so we can declare our first maiden indicated resource.
I'm sure investors will be looking forward to that. Could you quickly give us three reasons why an investor should follow you on their Vox Markets watch list?
Absolutely, Abraham. The first reason, diamonds, and in particular coloured and large stones, which Thorny River does have in particular the coloured, continue to attract strong premiums in a growth market. Secondly, Southern Africa is the most prospective region in the world, being Botswana, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. And thirdly, Botswana Diamonds is the most active diamond explorer in the region, with a portfolio of projects spanning the resource pipeline.
Thank you very much, James. Great to have you on as always.
Thank you very much indeed, Abraham. It's nice chatting with you.
Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining us on the podcast today is James Draper, CEO of Bidstack, ticker BIDS. How are you doing today?
I am very, very well indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Abraham.
For those of us who don't know, could you just quickly give us a summary of your company and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So Bidstack, we work within the video game space. We work with and alongside game publishers and game developers. Basically, our business model is we go to game developers and agree multi-year exclusive to Bidstack deals for us to own the billboard assets that sit naturally within the gaming environments, which they've created, and we, using our own technology, sell that space programmatically to the biggest agencies in the world, enable them to target based on who the gamer is, based on demographic data. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yes, and your first mover in this area, today you posted your final results. Do you want to take us through the highlights, please?
Yeah, it's a couple of things. So we covered off the revenue that we hit at the end of last year, which was in line with market expectations. So we made an announcement about that back in December last year. That was the sort of the initial sort of revenue piece in which we could touch on there. On top of that, it's also sort of trying to use this as a vehicle to start to highlight the growth potential this business has. So it's, hopefully people have read my thoughts within that. It's quite clear that, yes, as you mentioned today before this question, that this is we are very much in a first mover position. We are way out ahead of any would-be competitor, and the progress we've made today has been remarkable. It's fair to say that in the 6-7 months since listing the company, the knowledge base within the business has grown enormously. It's almost incomparable. And that is remarkably exciting. It's all in a very positive and good way. The relationship within the gaming space is getting stronger and stronger. The opportunities for the business to make additional revenues, not just the base product, but additional products, is becoming more and more clear. The talent pool that we've added into the company has given us huge levels of expertise, particularly with the programmatic side of the business, and we've had a couple of real key hires that have kind of really accelerated our growth. Obviously, we touch upon the start of our advisory board as well, and that's bringing in Pete Beeney, who is head of the WPP account, brought WPP to Spotify, and that was an enormous win for those guys. And the way in which Spotify had to educate the market and how the inventory that sits within their desktop and mobile devices works and how it can be reported on. His experience of going through that, working with one of the largest agencies in the world, was invaluable to us. He's also a smashingly good guy, and we've been friends with him since the out-of-home days. He's very, very well connected. And on top of that, Joel Livesey. So I mentioned on the last podcast about the trade desk, one of the biggest DSPs in the world. What I mean by that is that a large amount of the big agencies pump cash through those guys on top of others. And Joel's expertise at the trade desk has been there from really early. He's done remarkably well. He's so well respected and liked across the whole advertising industry. Getting him into the boat has been remarkable. So they've been like the real highlights. It's setting out a plan for where this company can go. Obviously, we only listed back in September, and it's all remarkably positive, and you know, it's the sky's the limit for the company.
Yes, and you recently gone to the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. What can you tell us about that?
San Francisco is a great city. I'll tell you that, frustrating. So I've seen there's been a lot of demand from anything from the chat forums to Twitter, people wanting to know what happened out there. We're under NDA to a whole bunch of very exciting companies. The meetings, I'll say this, the meetings went better than we could have expected. The data that we've gathered since being out there has been remarkable in terms of, I'll try and give you a bit more meat. So let's put this, the Google Stadia announcement, I want to sort of highlight a little bit more on what that means. So we were there when that was happening. We were delighted to be part of that conference. One of the most impressive keynotes I've ever seen. I think I said it reminded me a little bit of the, it felt as groundbreaking as the iPhone announcement came, in terms of what it's going to potentially do to the video game industry. It's going to change it forever. Mm-hmm. Now, even though Microsoft hinted and did a teaser video for the X Cloud, their rival service. Before, they're waiting until E3 so they do their full unveil, and it'd be quite interesting to see that. We'll be there for that, so it'd be quite interesting to see what they've got to say. We met some guys in Microsoft and we're out there as well, which is very interesting. So the reason why I find the Google piece particularly interesting, you look at the secondary audience, you look at YouTube gaming, and you see what is, I'm trying to word as carefully as possible without giving too much away, because I know some of our potential competitors listen to this. The secondary audience is now targetable through Google Stadia's technology. Now, what I mean by that, so let's say, for example, you and I, we're both fans of motorsport games. Let's say Dirt Rally 2, for whatever reason.
Okay.
It might be that, or might be another one. So you're very, very good at it. You're better than I am. So you put up a 5-minute video of you ragging it through the woods, and I'm in awe of your ability. So I watch you go around a certain corner better than I can. But the rest of the stage or the lap, I believe I'm better than you. So I can take it just after you've taken that corner better than I could, pause the video, and then hit play now. And within 5 seconds, I can jump into precisely where you were at that stage point. And then by doing so, we, BidStack, can replace the advertisements within the game in which I jump into. So basically, we can retarget and we can change the adverts based on the YouTube gaming audience in that way. And then there's other ways of doing it in a more traditional sense, in terms of someone who's a bit more passively just watching. What this will open up, and this is why I'm so excited by just this one part of it, it will increase the interaction between these enormous YouTube streamers and their audiences, because it can literally be a case of we can go back and forth, and you can pick up from where I left off. I can re-record my attempt at the final part of the stage, and then you can come in and go, well, I can do better at the final 100 meters, whatever it might be. So that interactivity is going to see a huge seismic shift in the way in which YouTube gaming and gaming as a whole is operated. So that's really interesting for us. On top of that, it enables the type of scale for high fidelity gaming, and high fidelity gaming is where you'll see these beautiful billboards sitting in cityscapes, etc. That scale with a Stadia type offering is going to be comparable to casual gaming, to a Candy Crush style game. You can suddenly see install numbers of, you look at, for example, a football manager. In fact, let's not use one of our cards. Let's just speculate. Let's say, for example, a FIFA. Very, very popular game, sells circa, let's say, 20 million units in a traditional way. The customer has to pay £40, and then that's the only revenue which you generate from it. But to get that, you need to have an audio outlaid £300, whatever it might be, for a console or whatever it might be, the hardware it's required on. Now, these subscription services, Google have not announced how much they're going to charge for these subscription services, how it's going to be monetized at all. They've kept away from that. I know there's a lot of speculation about it. I think it's fair to say that there'll be some sort of paid service, and there could be some ad-based service as well. So you can imagine then that FIFA all of a sudden could get, potentially with this type of model, could get 10 times, 20 times the number of installs it traditionally had, because it's broken down the requirement for hardware, it's broken down the requirement for or specific hardware, and it's broken down the requirement for an upfront fee. So it's Spotifying the market, it's opening up, there'll be losers from it, there'll be winners from it, and I would very much put our model in the winning camp of it. The traditional, slightly behind the time studios and game publishers will probably suffer initially, but I know that Google aren't the only horse in the race. We know Microsoft are in it. There are others that have been spoken about. Some we know, some we are hearing exciting rumors about as well. It's going to be an opportunity for some game publishers to make money today from doing exclusive deals with whether it be a Google or Microsoft or whatever it is. So it's going to see a massive seismic shift in it. There's also opportunity for things like the computational power of these of that service. For example, if I'm playing in a cityscape, you and I can be playing in a cityscape environment, which would be, it's completely live, it's got real weather system, it's got entire traffic system, where might get in it, loads of billboards in it, the absolute dream. And then it's, everyone loves billboards. So by running it through this streaming service, each building, for example, where traditionally it would be just a drawing, you know, that these are hollow buildings in like GTA, for example, mostly, would have their own physics. They can actually be, you can literally build an entire building out, so you can walk through every single floor and every single building and have items in every single room, because it's almost limitless computer power. So there's going to be 1,000 people playing into one battle royale game, for example. So that's more eyeballs, it's more exciting, there's more destruction, there can be more opportunities for commercial activation within these environments as well. So that's one piece, and I'm going on and on and on. So pause that for 1 second.
Yeah,
not the only conversations we're having. I see what people are talking about. The streaming services are one thing. There's other pieces we've mentioned it, so I can talk about this. It said that augmented reality is of great interest to us. And I'll stress why I think that is the case. I said it before, you fast forward 5, 10, 15 years, and if, let's say, an augmented reality device was to get enough penetration through, and it would have to definitely enhance a lot from where they are at the moment, but has enough cut through, an augmented reality device would negate the requirement to have a laptop or a phone. As such, the current digital advertising landscape, all of it in its entirety, becomes relatively irrelevant. It will have to be rebooted. And as such, we are very excited to be building technology that sits within augmented reality to enable advertisers to activate within that space programmatically on scale. So we are way ahead of the curve on that piece as well. Yes, it's through gaming, and there's additional opportunities outside of that as well. So it was a very, very constructive conference. It's proven to myself and to Francesco, who also joined me out there, we are very much first mover in certain angles, and other places we are so far ahead and so much in a sweet spot. I said the overall sort of feeling that I came away from was two, really. It was enormous excitement, and then it's on top of that, it's once in a lifetime anxiety, where we've just got to make sure we execute and do things in the correct order, which we are, and we've got to make sure we capitalize on what is an opportunity that I would look back on in many a year if we don't maximize it. I would look back on and go, right then, everything was possible. So we've got the potential to build this company into as big as we all want it to be. So I'm feeling ridiculously excited, and I can say that hand on heart, we are doing things in a correct way to make sure this business scales at a global level and into the future.
Yes, it's the excitement just translates into the fact that you couldn't help yourself in terms of explaining what happened at the conference, and it seems to me like it's the tip of the iceberg, essentially.
It is. There's the opportunity. We've put it down in writing again, so can again talk about it.
Yeah,
our aim. I'll just really quickly one second.
Yeah.
Our aim is to make sure that we've got the possibility, if we execute, and I believe we will, over the next 2.5 years, we can become the biggest media owner in the world of video games. And if you look at some of the valuations of companies out there, it's fair to say that if we execute, and I believe we will, because we've got a couple of interesting things that differentiate us, we're in a really good place. We're in a really, really good place. It's execution and doing things in the correct order. So we're trying to do things in the correct order and execute in the right way. So yeah, I'm very, very pleased with the trip. It was eye-opening, and it's fair to say that there is enormous interest in what we're doing, particularly on the West Coast.
I see. And what's next for BidStack? What are you particularly excited about? What milestones can investors look forward to in terms of seeing some of the iceberg below?
They won't have to wait too long for certain things. It's nothing's signed until it's signed, right? There's a bunch of NDAs that we're under at the moment, and it's again frustrating. Can't talk about everything I'd love to, but it's fair to say, you know, as mentioned before, the advisory board should provide a hint to where we're looking to go. On top of that, there will be. That's just the start. That's just the start of. We want to make sure that. I know we need to keep the very supportive, and you know, I want to go on record. There's a bunch of very supportive and good people who have backed this story from placing, even when it dipped initially, kept buying, and it's driven it to where it is. They get where we are aiming to get this company to. I want to be able to sort of say more, but it's imagine that we've got to balance the video games that we sign. When we sign them, we can talk about them. The DSPs, which we are getting inventory onto, that is absolutely a focus. There is, I would say, 4 products that we are building out here. That will generate the enormous revenues that we're excited about. And it's doing things it might be a case of a verification announcement. It might be a viewability announcement. It might be an exciting hire. It might be whatever it might be. It could be a whole plethora of things, but there's so many moving parts, and I've never been part of a company. And it's quite awesome to be the CEO and founder of it. It's been part of a company that's growing so rapidly and so organically. There's so many people want this to expand. And if we win, a whole bunch of other people win, and not many people, if any, lose from our existence, which is also quite motivating. So the next announcements, so we'll have to wait too long, I'm pretty sure, but it's we can't talk about them until they're everything's signed and done, because we know that there's a bunch of eyes on us, and as mentioned before, there'll be undoubtedly a couple of people listening to this who are not investors and actually in and around the same space as us. So got to be careful about precisely what I say.
Yeah, and it's worth reiterating that point. Could you quickly, as always, give us 3 quick reasons why investors should be following BidStack and adding them to their watch list?
Okay, quick reasons. I'll go as quick as I can. The market size and scale that we're in terms of the video game market, I don't think there's many hotter sectors than that right now in terms of where it's been looking to be taken, and by the names, the Googles, the Microsoft, and what they're trying to do with it, the Amazons. It's very sexy. So that's point number one. Point number two, the progress that we've made to date is remarkable. And if you look at back to anyone who's known the journey of BidStack will know the pace in which this company goes at. It is organically growing apace. It's very, very exciting. And I would say this as well. The third point, last time I said it was down to my shareholding would be one of the reasons why people should get excited. But honestly, I would say I'm more excited about looking after the people who back the journey from early all the way through, and the ones who continue to support the narrative, making sure that they continue to feel and will see that this is one of, if not their best ever investment. That is something which drives me far, far more than me personally benefiting from it. So that's how I generally feel. I think that it's they're in safe hands, I would say that.
I'm sure a lot of investors will be happy to hear that, and we appreciate you coming on to the podcast. It's great to have you, James.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets, starting with number five, is Block Energy, ticker BLOE. And number four, Vodafone Group, ticker VOD. Coming in at number three, i3 Energy, ticker I3E. And the second most followed company is Bidstack Group, ticker BIDS. And the most followed company on Vox Markets is Xeros Technology Group, ticker XSG. And the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets, starting with number five, i3 Energy, the result of their open offer. At number four, we have Metal Tiger PLC, an update on their Kalahari Metals Limited environmental permitting. Coming at number three, Pan Asia Metals commenced their drilling program at Rian Kiet Lithium Project. Coming at number two, i3 Energy again, Miten Group's picked up some shares. And Bidstack Group at number one, the most liked RNS, their final results today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.